Haven't we all enjoyed this feast this week? You know, there's just nothing, like the presence of the Lord, is there? To satisfy the soul and the life. And I so thank the Lord. He just lowered His presence here with the weather, with His Spirit, with His Word. And hasn't He talked to our hearts? I will tell you, I got my cup full. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me. And so I desire a little interest in your prayers. It's always an act of God when I get up here. So Isaiah 35 and 8 gives us a little insight into the way of the Lord. It says, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. You know, I look at this way of the Lord and this highway that He has made to take us to heaven, because that's what it is. That's what it's for. The Lord has made a way for us to go to heaven this morning. And in His infinite wisdom, He made it so that the fool that gets saved won't err therein. And He's made it so that the least intelligent to the genius, they all can fare the same on this road. He made it that way, and I marvel at that. He made it so that only the clean are going to go on that road. We aren't going to be able to take anything unclean with us. Only the clean is going on this road. Only the clean is going on the road that takes to heaven. And again, I ask you to pray for us this morning. I want to think a little bit about this. You know, this is a way of holiness. That very word, when you look it up in Strong's, it means a sacred place or thing, a hallowed thing, holiness, saint, sanctuary. The ways of the Lord are clean ways. The way of the Lord is a way that we can make it from here to heaven, if we'll let the Lord work with us. You know, this morning, it's not wide enough to take in everything in our life, but it's wide enough to take in everyone in the world. And so this morning, I think about Galatians 5 and 7, and I'm going to tell you now, I hope this is a message of encouragement, and yet at the same time, I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to give you the word of the Lord. And I believe the Lord's been giving me some of that word this week. In Galatians 5 and 7, I'm just going to quote that. Paul asked the Galatians, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" You know, this morning, I love to see people get saved. And I love to see us come to these altars. I don't know when I've seen more altar work, seldom ever, that I can remember. Has there been more altar work every night? The pouring out of our hearts to God and asking Him, "Lord, I want Your ways." When you pray with those at the altar that are pouring out their heart to the Lord and looking to the Lord, "Lord, fill my life. I want to be more like You." You know, that's a blessed thing, isn't it? And I appreciate the starts that are made here. But I will tell you, my burden is this. I want to see you make heaven. I want to see you finish well. I want to see you come back next year to this meeting and have something to bring with you. Can that be so? Or do we have to come and been hindered all along the way, barely scraping along? I really believe this highway that the Lord has made, it's a way that goes through all the places of life that we go through. This highway takes us through the lowlands, the mountains, the exalted places, and it makes the high places low and it makes the low places high, doesn't it? Yes. It lifts them up and it gives us a way that we can make it to heaven this morning. And so I want to encourage us today, there is a way here to heaven that the Lord wants us to go on. I want to tell you about a little happening I saw one time. I saw a spider's web one time and I was watching this and an insect flew into that web and I saw that spider run over there and start wrapping that thing up. And it took a little while because that insect was really kicking. And so that spider in between kicks and in between, he'd run in there and throw another web around a leg. And he kept doing that until he had that insect, he had it beginning to be wrapped up. And then I watched, and every little bit he'd run in there and hunker down and bite it or sting it or whatever he was doing. And that insect was just kicking for everything it was worth. But you know, I stood there a long time. I wanted to see this. And I watched as that insect began to slow down its kicks. It resisted, really resisted at first, but it was caught. And maybe it could have gotten out, but it began to be wrapped up in that. Last year during this meeting, we went over here to the George Washington Carver Monument, and we were taking a walk out through the woods there, through the same area that he walked in the mornings, and we came across a creek, and we stopped there and heard this loud croaking and this loud calling. And I was, some were standing there watching, and I was trying to see what was going on. Finally, I got a glimpse. There was a snake that had grasped the foot of a frog. And the frog had three legs loose, and he was pulling for everything he could to get down this bank and into the water. And he was only about, I don't know, a foot and a half from there or maybe a foot. And he kept pulling and the snake kept going and I was just in awe. I was like, I wonder how this is going to turn out. And so I watched a long time. While a lot of the others went on and round the things, I wanted to see what was going to happen. And this snake just kept pulling. And that frog would pull out and I thought, he's going to get loose. And then the snake would grab a little more and back and forth and back. And you know, eventually that snake, I saw he started getting up on his leg. And he kept getting up there. And after a bit, he had his whole leg in his mouth. And I knew then, I don't think this frog's going to make it. And you know, after a while, that frog was croaking. But that snake kept swallowing that frog and kept getting farther and farther up on it until the sounds began to be more faint. And he stopped kicking so much. And the effect of what was happening was taking strong effect on him. You know, today I want to warn us. I believe by the word of the Lord this morning, those things that would hinder us, folks, are the desires and the lusts of our hearts and of our lives that we don't keep in check. And when we allow our hearts to become too given to the things of this world, the scriptures call it the lust of the flesh. And we think of lust, sometimes we think of lust, well, that evil thing. That word lust means desire, folks. And if you look that word up, it's the same word that is used when Jesus said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." You know, this morning, the things of the world are not always wrong. Many times, the enemy begins to latch onto us or begins to wrap us up a little at a time. And at first, we've probably got somewhere we shouldn't be. And then we feel that sting. And, you know, maybe we could get away at first, but our desires and our strong desires for things that maybe are not forbidden, maybe are not wrong in the proper context, they begin to entangle us. And they begin to entangle us in the things of the world. And saints, this morning, I just want to leave us at this meeting with this little challenge, that we keep our desires in one vein, and that is, Lord, I want to do your will, all of it, and only it. And you know, when we live that way in our life, day by day, folks, when you settle that, that'll settle the rest. When we decide, I want only the will of the Lord. Lord, Jesus said, I do only those things that please my Father, or something like that. He said, you know, this morning, these things are real. And many times there are things that hinder us, and they slowly entrap us until we have no time to pray meaningfully, to pray down the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And so while some here this morning may be perfect examples of all this, folks, this is what happens to many people. And we come along and we come to the next meeting and we're completely dry. Again, folks, the Lord made a way and a highway that the fool won't err therein. What we do is what we know we do. We start reaching out after things that we know the Lord really isn't real pleased with that. And what we don't realize is that there's something that latches onto us at that point and pulls and begins to pull. And then we begin a struggle between what are we going to do? And our desires are still there. We have to be willing to love the Lord with all of our heart. I want to turn to 1 John 2 and 15. I know my burden is that of an under shepherd. I look at things very different than just getting saved. I love that time. But folks, that's step one. Let's make our run successful. God wants to use our lives, folks. He has a plan for you and me, and He wants to use our lives. He would like for us to be centered up in His will. He would like our prayers to change things. Do we believe that this morning? I know we do. We believe that. James tells us about the prayers of Elijah and what they did. You know, the Lord wants to do that through our lives too. He wants our prayers to change things. But folks, if we are so numb, we've been bit. We've been stung. We've been beginning to be entrapped. And we're so bit by the things of the world that we can hardly find any kind of time for the things of God or any kind of sacrifice for His work and His ways. Folks, we're going to find ourselves slowly being sucked in to that. And then we come to these meetings many times and the Lord has mercy on us. He delivers us and gives us another opportunity to begin anew. And so this morning I want to encourage us that we make our run successful. In 1 John 2 and 15 and through 17, we're all real familiar with these scriptures. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Folks, I want to challenge us this morning that we zero in on the will of God in our life. That we zero in on doing His complete will in our life. This word, lust, I'm just going to read to you from Strong's. This word here says a longing, especially for what is forbidden. I'm not reading all of them. Desire, lust, lust after. And Webster's describes lust as a longing desire. Eagerness to possess or enjoy as the lust of gain. To have carnal desire is another part of that lust, to desire eagerly the gratification of carnal appetite. You know, the scriptures tell us that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know our desires are the same way as our thoughts? They kind of intertwine, don't they? We are going to desire things, aren't we? Some of us here, you love to work. Well, you know what? The saints are prosperous folks when they get out there. When they work in the world, folks, there's no one like the saints, hardly. They're honest. They're dependable. They're hardworking. They're smart. They're intelligent. They can compete with the world, can't they? So you know what we have to do? We have to throttle back. We have to do that. We have to throttle back what would go wild. We cannot allow the things of our life to go unfettered and unchecked. Because if we do, we will find ourselves in spiritual poverty after a while. It's not that we make a decision to go out and live in sin. It's that we make a decision to follow those strong desires and allow them a place in our life that should not be. And so before long, we find ourselves in a great struggle. A struggle that we shouldn't even have in the way that it is. We should not have that struggle in that way. When we find ourselves following a path, you know, let's just curtail our desires. They're not evil desires necessarily, unless we begin to take it into a place that's against the will of God. And folks, then it's evil. It'll destroy our soul. And to bring into captivity every thought. And I'm going to replace that with also every desire. Bringing into captivity every desire to the obedience of Christ. You know, this morning, we're people, aren't we? We have desires. And many of the things that will lead us astray are lawful things taken to a point that's not lawful. Many of the things are not wrong in themselves. Saints, if we want to go back and really do the will of God in our life and keep on the firing line for the Lord, if we want to keep in a place where God can use our life, then let's do this. Let's bring into captivity this year every desire to the obedience of Christ. I wanted to say this about good things. When good things begin to get too much, there's kind of a metamorphosis that happens, if I can say it that way. And it undergoes a change. And what should be a blessing to us, and I say that to say this, this idea that we just talked about with lust and with desires and all those things, there's something wholesome about men working hard. A good job, that's very honorable for a man to hold down a good job. It's honorable for him to do as well as he can when he can. I believe that. I like that. I don't have any problem with someone making good money, a lot of money. But what the problem is, folks, when our desires get to be, I want to make more of this stuff. I love this thing. You know what? Many of us like that, don't we? Many of us, our desires are so... We all could love the flesh, couldn't we? But folks, we have to bring every desire to the captivity, into the captivity of the Lord. and His ways this morning. If we want to run the long haul and we want to make it and one day see His face in peace, and I loved that thought of entering into the gates of paradise. What was the word that was said? Sweeping into the gates. I love that thought, folks. I want to lay this body down and I want to go sweeping into the gates of paradise and into the presence of God. But folks, it's not going to be something all new to us when we get there. We need to know the Lord now. And we're not going to be able to know to love the world and love the Lord. So this morning, I just have this little challenge, this little warning for us. I believe the Lord laid it on my heart. And I believe He told me, if you don't warn the people and things happen, I'm going to hold their blood on you. And so this morning, I don't have a lot of things to say, but I just want to give you this warning, folks. This morning, let's keep it inside the will of God, inside His Word, inside His ways, inside the Spirit of the Lord. I think about these things that we read, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and how they begin to numb our spiritual life. I wanted to read what Clark says about this. He says, "The lust of the flesh is sensual and impure desires which seek their gratification in women, strong drink, delicious viands, and the like," or delicious meats or foods. You know, we know that gratification in women and strong drink, that's nothing, is it? Not to most of us, as far as we know that's wrong, don't we? We know we're not going there. But I will tell you, when our lust and our desires begins to be so that our whole life revolves around the flesh and around eating and around drinking and around all the fun of life. Folks, I believe in fun in life. I believe in enjoyment, in healthy laughter and all those things. But you know, the enemy wants to take it to a place where we don't understand why necessarily, but it begins to numb our spiritual life. And we suddenly don't understand why that we don't have fire and zeal in our life. Why are we getting tripped up? And why are we feeling like we're in a fight all the time? Folks, the Lord wants to set us free from some things. And so this morning, not only are we talking about... I believe Clark's right here. Not only is he talking about women and strong drink, the lust of the flesh, the body, the things the body does, but the lust of just constantly feeding our flesh all the time. Folks, we have to bring those things into the will of God. And you know, they're a blessing at that point, and they're good for us. And don't we enjoy, all of us enjoy the things of the flesh, don't we? I mean, I'm not talking about sinful things, but we all enjoy the things of this body, don't we? The lust of the eyes, Clark says, inordinate desires after finery of every kind, gaudy dress or splendid houses, superb furniture, expensive equipage, trappings and decorations of all sorts. Folks, was Clark just totally wrong here? Or did he maybe have something that he was seeing? I want to give you what I believe is the heart of God about some of these things. Folks, we enjoy nice things, don't we? We enjoy a nice home. We enjoy those things, but it's like everything else. If we begin to set our heart on that and we begin to be outlandish and, you know, we're not common anymore and we're not on the level of every... Folks, we should know that we're getting in a dangerous place. I believe that this morning. And I believe many times we don't understand the spiritual numbing and the spiritual blindness that begins to happen, because it is the gods of this world that blind us. And so when we begin to allow ourselves and our desires to go out to the things, the gods that this world is all about, then we begin to be blinded a little at a time. And we find ourselves wishing, struggling, wanting I want to contrast that with another kind of life, folks. And that is, see, it's not whether we make a lot of money or not, or those kind of things, or even have a nice home. But folks, when we change our desires from wanting only one thing, God in heaven, would you show me your ways? Would you teach me your paths? Would you make me a proper example? Would you make me a minister to the poor? Would you make me a helper to those that need help? Is that okay to want that in our lives? Is it okay for our life to be burning with that? That's what zeal is this morning. And so zeal does not come as an accident. It is not that somebody went to the altar and all of a sudden they are blazing with the glory of God. Folks, it is a life that we take up, that we begin to live in the ways of the Lord, giving ourselves fully to Him. And the natural result of that is fire in our soul. I want to tell you something. I don't go to the jail a lot with Robert, but I have gone some a few times. I will tell you, the Lord, I had to go here a while back and I didn't know how I was going to handle the situation, but I had to go and work with some things. And you know what? When I came back from there, I have not forgotten the river of peace that God put down in my soul. And it's put a thirst in me ever since. Lord, that was sweet. You know, God wants to inflame our lives with those kind of things this morning. But we many times mistake, not meaning to, but we mistake the joys of the world, or I'll say the fun of the world, for the joys of the Lord. Folks, the devil has some kind of something, a look-alike for everything of the Lord. The Lord wants to give us joy in our life. He would like our heart. Do you believe this morning? I want to ask you this. Do you believe this? The Lord wants you and me to be inflamed with the zeal of God in our life. Do you believe He wants us to come to meeting, sometimes paw in the dirt? Do we believe? Do you know the Lord wants us to have more than a mediocre life? And folks, we are being stolen from by the desires of this flesh and this life. Not necessarily evil desires, but desires that have run amok. They're too big, they're too much, and we wonder why. Why don't I have any zeal? I want to tell you something. When the Lord begins to move on your life, and when He begins to give you that kind of peace, and when He begins to work in you and burn in your heart, there's something wonderful that goes on in your soul. And then you talk about a life that has peace, a life that is worthwhile, it has purpose. I want to challenge us this morning. Folks, I'm not telling us we live in sin. I'm just telling us you live the same place I do. In this world, dealing with the desires of our own self. And whether we bring those into captivity, and whether we look to God with one purpose, Lord, what is your will in my life? What would you have me to do today? And I'll tell you, if you start looking for it, you'll find it. But we can replace that with the finest of things. What's wrong with it? We can afford it. Well, there's just something wrong with it, folks. There is. There's just something wrong with it. There's something that the letting loose of the flesh, unfettered, brings in the end spiritual death. There's a scripture that says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you know that many times when we start up this way, it seems so nice, so good. Oh, I enjoy this. This is fun. This is great. But the end thereof are the ways of death. The end of the ways of the flesh, folks, is death. That's what the end is. Now, maybe you don't go that far, but I just want to tell us what would hinder your spiritual life this morning. What is it? Is it that our heart longs for those fine things? Is it that our heart longs for those big... Is it that our heart longs for that great amount in the bank? Is it that our heart longs for those constant parties? Or does our heart long for the work of God? And we see the work and we see the things that the Lord has interest in, and we give ourselves to those things. Do you know this morning, Ezekiel 16 and 49, I'm just going to read this. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What was Sodom's sin? What was Sodom's sin? Was it homosexuality? I'll tell you what the scripture says. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Now, that was where Sodom's prosperity took it, because it let itself out to it all. It was prosperous, I suppose. As everything that I can understand, Sodom was a very prosperous place. And so it just let itself out to it. It let its affections go to it. But I'll tell you what else the scripture says. In Genesis 18 and 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Do you know this morning, the sins of Sodom were very grievous, but it didn't start there. It started with pride and fullness of bread and plenty of everything and idleness of time. You know, the Lord has an antidote for that. He really does. There's how many billion people on the world now? 7 or I don't know what it is at this time. Around 7 billion or more. And we find, folks, the Lord has a much higher place for us. I know these things are not easy to see all the time. It's not easy to see the end of a thing many times. And so the beginning of it seems so right. It seems so fun. It seems so enjoyable. It brings such something to our life. But I'm not real concerned about the beginning. I'm concerned about the end of the thing. And so this morning, folks, let's remember the end of the thing. The things we involve ourselves with this morning, we don't want to get bit by the lust of this world and by the things of this world. You know, Clark goes on to say, of the pride of life, hunting after honors, titles, and pedigrees, boasting of ancestry, family connections, great offices, honorable acquaintances, and the like, is not of the Father. Nothing of these inordinate attachments either comes from or leads to God. They're of this world. Here they begin, flourish, and end. They deprave the mind, divert it from divine pursuits, and render it utterly incapable of spiritual employments. Now, folks, if we allow that into our lives, I'm just giving you this. I feel like God burned it on my heart, okay? I'll let you judge that. But we can never enjoy fleshly enjoyments to the extreme. The Lord calls them lust. They're desires that have gone astray. They've gone too much. In Matthew 7 and 13 and 14, you see, I want us to remember all along this way that it is a journey. It's not a place where we've made a choice to, well, we're either going to go to heaven or we're not. Folks, many times it's a choice that we've made to just follow the flesh, not even realizing. And so I just want to warn us in the fear of God this morning that the Lord would help us to give ourselves to Him and to recognize His ways. Those ways are good ways. One scripture says something like, wherein is the good way? I found this way to be good. the end of it is awesome. When the investments come in, folks, they're good. It works well. It brings a lot to our life and to the world this morning. It does that. It's worth our investment in the things of God. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," S-T-R-A-I-T, "for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Now, we began by talking about a highway and a way. You know, there's more than one way. And Jesus said here, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." I will tell you what you can take on this way to the place of destruction. You can take all your sins. You can take all your desires, all your lust, all your sensuality, all the things that you have, you can take here. And it'll go. But none of it will go on the straight and narrow way. Jesus said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Why is it narrow? Folks, it's narrow because it's narrow to the flesh. It's too narrow for the flesh. It's too narrow. This way, even a fool won't err therein. Even the unlearned won't err therein as we follow the Lord. But I will tell you, the broad way, it's sort of a feel-good way at times. But the end thereof, folks, is a way to destruction. And I'll say long before the end of it, I believe the ways of the Lord are a lot better than the ways of the world. "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." You know, the whole world is carried away with the flesh today, isn't it? And yet the Lord tells us, you beware of that. Let's live modest lives, folks. Modest means properly restrained by a sense of propriety. Restrained. Reined in. Pulled back. Not let go. Not just let. We can never let the flesh just go. We will always have to restrain the things of this life in our life. We can never just say, well, I like this and it's good and I'm going to go for it. We have to restrain the things of this life. Restrained by a sense of propriety, hence not forward or bold, not presumptuous or arrogant, not boastful, as a modest youth, a modest man. Moderate means not excessive or extreme, not extravagant, as a modest request, modest joy, a modest computation. You know Peter, 2 Peter 3:11, he says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Just want to encourage us today. Folks, these things are going to be dissolved. That's going to be the end of it. And everything of this world is going to be dissolved. But you know what? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever this morning. Oh, I hope that your heart can be encouraged today to allow the Lord to work in you. I want to read a few other things. Isaiah 32 and 17 and 18. I want to tell you, folks, this highway is a good way. It is an awesome way. I know it requires some sacrifice, but I want to tell you, if the Spirit of the Lord follows sacrifice, I would say it was worth it for this meeting, wouldn't you? I don't know all the sacrifices everyone made, but I know this, the Spirit of the Lord's been here this week, and it's been pretty awesome, hasn't it? The Lord wants to bless our lives like that all our life. He wants to give us awesome times all through our life. We don't live on a peak like that all the time. But folks, the ways of the Lord are good ways. 32 and 17 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." I want you to remember this, because the devil says, no, I want the things of this flesh. I want to tell you something. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. That sounds pretty good to me. That's all right with me. I'd like to dwell in a place like that. We do. Thank the Lord. So this morning, I want to encourage us, saints. I don't know if you've ever heard this before or not, but I'm sure you've read the scripture if you've read the Bible much. In Ephesians 5 and 4, it says, neither filthiness, let me turn there, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Do you know this morning, folks, there is something, I personally love wholesome laughter. I think it's so enjoyable to get with the guys and start working together, and funny things happen and are said, and you know, it's enjoyable to me, and probably to you too. But I want to tell you what this one thing. This I'll just touch on one thing. This jesting. I want to encourage us as people to consider what I'm saying this morning. This jesting is talking, I believe, about comedians. Now, they're funny, aren't they? They're hilarious. And it's amazing what they can come out with. And so many times, it's followed by things we wish we wouldn't have heard. But I want to tell you something this morning. Folks, when we go around to the places and the amusements that only cater to our fleshly desires, and all, we just let it go. For a whole week, we just let our fleshly desires go. Folks, that is a dangerous place. I want to tell you, in the fear of God, I'm asking you to just consider this morning. I feel like we're being taken advantage of by that. It numbs the senses to spiritual depths and understandings. Now, why does it do that? For one thing, the Lord said not to do it. And for another thing, folks, it takes the place of something so much more valuable in our lives. And we find ourselves becoming entrapped with that stuff. And we find ourselves constantly having to feed that flesh. Folks, I'm going to encourage you this morning to pray about what you do in the way of just letting your flesh go to the amusements of the world and the theme parks and all of that. I want to encourage you this morning, folks, we will find ourselves taking great loss and we won't even know it. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It seems so wholesome. It seems so family oriented. But folks, I want to tell you something. Contrast it with spending that time doing something so much more wholesome, where you can, where the mind is not so taken by those things. I will tell you, I really believe, and I ask you to forgive me. No, I don't ask you to forgive me. Folks, I'm going to give you the word of the Lord, but I ask you to love me. Let's consider these things, that our senses do not begin to be dulled and destroyed. And I'll tell you what you will find many times. You will find we have time to do the things that we immerse our flesh into. But then when it comes to the work, when it comes to the places where God is calling for sacrifice, when it comes to the places where He's calling for a minister or a teacher, He's looking for somebody that has immersed themselves in the Word of God. He's calling for somebody that has immersed themselves in the good things of the Lord, that has followed those things. And you find their sacrifices are going around following those things this morning. Now, I know there's a time for us to draw away. But folks, the way we do it, we need to be careful this morning, because it numbs the spirit this morning. And I ask you to consider it. The love of fun can eat up a lifetime of earnings. Folks, we love the truth, don't we? But we can love the truth and not the cross. And Jesus preached the cross. He was truth. But I want to tell you this morning, the cross is not the flesh. They are contrary one to another, and the flesh is an enmity with the cross of God. And I ask us to just simply consider this this morning. I'm not looking at people and saying I don't have confidence in. Folks, I just know from watching through many years, the enemy wants to entrap. And he wants to take advantage. And he wants to begin to wind up. And he wants to take our time and our mind and all the things that we... Folks, contrast it with a trip to a foreign land to help in a mission work. I want to tell you, talk about something that binds your family together. That's a good thing. Contrast it with giving yourself to those that need it. And I'm not saying we don't do any of that, but folks, we can love truth and not love the cross. In Psalms 25 and 9, it says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." And I say this, to the extent we are meek and teachable, because meek people are teachable, to the extent we are meek and teachable, we're going to be guided and taught by the Lord. To the extent we hunger after the things of the Lord and His ways. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night some while back and gave me number 255. There's a way. There's a way, folks. There's more than one way. There's a broad way. There's a narrow way that leads to heaven and eternal life. The end of it's not going to get any worse. It's not going to be bad. It's going to be better and better. But the end of the ways of the flesh bring us to death. They bring us to spiritual poverty as a people. And so I want to encourage us. The Lord has visited us here today. I think we're in a place today where we are asking the Lord for all His will. Maybe He's giving us a little more of it this morning. Let's don't let the flesh have too big of a place. It says, "There's a way that is free from sin. Few there be that shall enter in, lest we stray from the narrow way. Help us ever to watch and pray." Watch and pray. Watch and pray, or the tempter will lead astray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. You shall overcome if you watch and pray. You all pray for me. I know there's so many places we could go in a message like this morning. I know there's so many things. But folks, we're going to have to just want it. We're going to have to search those things out. Where is the good way? Lord, where is the good way? Where is the way that when I get down to the end of the way, I won't say I made major mistakes. I can make mistakes, but I prayed all along the way. Lord, help me not to make major mistakes in my life. Lord, help me not to make major errors in what I allow in my home. Lord, help me not to make major errors, because folks, by the time we find it out, it's too late many times. It's too late for the children. And we wonder, why are they not consecrating to all the will of God? I'm not just talking about a truth, but I'm talking about all the will of God. The truth, the cross, the ways of God, the will of God in their lives. It's a good way. It's a good way. You pray for me.